this friendship evangelism, you know. So, Father, we just thank you for the fact that every one of us, every single one of us that names the name of the Lord Jesus is on Friendship Road. Lord, you may send us to certain people. You may speak to us and send us to certain people. Or you may just cause their path to cross our path. And we are able to touch their lives. It's actually Jesus that touches their lives through us. And so we're grateful, Lord, that we have this purpose, especially in these last days when everything is being shaken. People don't know their right hand from their left hand. People are calling good evil and evil good, you know. And many of them, they're just Paul parroting what they hear. But Father, we thank you that you know those people who are ready. You know the people who you've prepared them, they're ready, and you're going to cause our path to cross with their path, and you're going to cause these people to come into the kingdom of God as a result of meeting us. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Say, I want to be one of those. All right. So, we're going to use the... I like to use these sheets because we can take them home with us, and we can go back over and look the scriptures up again. All right, so let's look at the first scripture here is John 4, 35 through 38. Jesus said, do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. That's good. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white to harvest. Lean over to that person next to you and say, begin to look out. Begin to look at the fields around you. People are already ripe for the picking. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. How many know we're a team? Lean over and tell your neighbor, you're my teammate. All right. For in this saying, this is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. That was true in Jesus' day, all the way through today, and until he comes again. All right? Praise God. So, let's look at number one here. I'll give you the fill-in. This is a season of divine appointments. That's the fill-in. This is the season for divine appointments. How many are ready for a divine appointment with people? Amen. Praise God. He will have you at the right place at the right time. Amen. Okay? You can't figure it out, but you don't have to. All you have to do is get up in the morning and say, Lord, here I am. Use me any way you want. It may be on the job or off the job or grabbing a coffee or wherever it might be. He can use you. It says, if you are ready, then ask God's leading. There is no chance meetings. No chance meetings if you're in the Lord. Let's look at John. I got a really cool example. John chapter 4, verses 3, 4, and then 10. He says, speaking of Jesus, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. See, you'll get up in the morning and you'll need to go through your Samaria. Well, where's that, Petey? I don't know. That's up to the Holy Spirit. But he will lead you into your Samaria because you have somebody to meet. Lean over and tell your neighbor, you've got somebody to meet. See, they need to hear your testimony. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God, he's speaking of himself, who it is and who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Praise God. All right. So, how many know you already have living water on the inside of you? It's the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? It's the Word of God. So, years ago, and I've used this illustration probably before, but I think it's a really good one. We were in Destin, Florida. How many ever been to Destin, Florida? It's a great place, cool place, although it's pretty crowded these days. And so this is way long ago. We didn't even have, as I can remember, we didn't even have children at the time. I didn't have any kids. And that's a long time ago. So we got one here, and he's 43. So this is before that, right? So we were Ian and I were only 10 when we got married. We were just really really young. You know? Seriously. So I had a hankering, a desire for an ocean picture. And so I said, you know, there's an art dash bookstore right next to the hotel where we're staying. I want to go there. I want to check this out. I think I want to buy a seascape picture. So I go over there, and while I'm looking around, the Holy Spirit said, look at the lady who runs this place. So I looked at her, and he said, I got a word for that lady. I'm going to give it to you. I said, okay, Father, but at the time, the place was packed with people, and she was taking people's orders. And I said, if this is you, how many know it's okay to test and find out? I said, Lord, if this is you, get rid of them within the next few minutes. I'm going to the back of the store. I'm figuring, well, maybe I'm off the hook here, maybe, you know. So I go to the back of the store, and I'm looking around, and I didn't see anything I really wanted to buy. And then it suddenly dawned on me, the Lord has sent me to this place not to buy any art, all right? So a little while later, I hear no sound in the store, so I go to the front. Everybody's gone. The Lord's going, hello, Dave. So I went up to the lady, and I just introduced myself, and I just said, you know, you have a lot of wonderful merchandise here. And I said, we're going to be here for a few days. I may come back and look at it again. We got talking, and I said, how are you doing? And break the ice a little bit, you know. And I said, are you from this area? And she said, yes. And then I said, well, you know, we're from New Orleans, and we're over here. We like to come here every so often. And the more I talked to her, then I felt she was getting comfortable with me there talking with her. And I said, look, dear, I'm a pastor, okay? And when I came into the store, I felt the Holy Spirit wanted me to minister to you. But I also told her, I said, there were so many people that I didn't want to interrupt you. And so I said, I asked God to get rid of all these folks. And so I came to the front, and they're all gone. Now I said, I hope you made some nice sales. She laughed. She said, yeah, I did. They knew what they wanted. They came and got it and left. I said, okay, well, that's good. But I said, how are you doing? What do you have need of? Because I said, I've been sent here for you. And she broke in. She just started crying. And she said, thank you so much for coming here. She said, I'm divorced. And she said, I tried to go to this one church. They found out I was divorced. They didn't want me anymore to be there. And she said, I feel like an outcast. I feel very lonely. So I said, have you ever, she was a Catholic lady, I said, have you ever really surrendered your life to Jesus? And she said, well, not really. She said, I agree with what they teach and all that. I said, well, so I explained to her the pure gospel. And I said, would you like to receive him now? She said, yes. I said, give me your hand. So we prayed, and God's presence just came all over this lady. And she's now crying tears of joy. And I said, let's find a good church for you. And I said, have you ever gone to a Holy Spirit church? No. I said, well, there's probably some good ones. So we found some churches that I said, here's a couple. Take this. I said, I think this would be really good experience for you if you went. And I gave her a hug, left, and it fulfilled my assignment. Didn't get any artwork, but that's okay. How many know she was set up? She was the woman at the well I was supposed to meet, right? But how many know that wherever you go, you got a woman at the well or a man, whatever, for you to meet? We're a child, right, and to minister to them. And by the way, here's a P.S. on this. You have the goods. Tell your neighbor, you've got the goods already. If you got Jesus, you got the Father, and you got the Holy Spirit. So, you're good to go. All right. Number two, people are receptive to truth. They really are. People are receptive to truth. Let's look at some of these, especially when we show them mercy and we love them. Let's look at these scriptures from Psalms. Psalm 85:10, mercy and truth met together. When you show mercy to people, they're open to what? The truth, right? Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Love that. Wow. Okay, let's go to the next scripture. Psalm 89:14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. So God is really concerned about us walking in mercy, showing mercy, and then also showing truth to people so they can. We showed the lady mercy. She was open to truth. There you go. I think there's one more. Psalm 119:64, the earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. You know why? I'm looking at you, and you are full of the mercy of God. Tell your neighbor, you are a mercy shower. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. Okay, so we're better than David was. We're better off because we have the Lord Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. So the next paragraph says, look at Zacchaeus. Jesus told him, it's pretty interesting. Jesus told him, make haste, say make haste, hurry up, and come down. He was up in a tree. He was a short guy. He was a short guy. I think if I was living in Jesus' day, you know, a lot of the people were a lot smaller, shorter, but he must have been really short. And so he had to get up in a tree. And now, a lot of times people, they take for granted, well, Jesus had been to the town before. No, he's going to new territory. So he looks up in the tree, and by word of knowledge, he says, oh, Zacchaeus, he knew his name. How many know the Lord knows your name? Right? He knows your name. You say, well, I don't know where to go. That's okay, he does. Well, I don't know who to talk to. That's okay, he does. Right? He'll give you intimate knowledge if it will cause you to lead that person to Christ. Seriously speaking. So he said, make haste to come down. Let's look at Luke 19:5 and then 8 through 10. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Now, how many know these people, tax collectors, were not the most favorite kind of people back in those days, right? They were hated. Hated. Probably true today, too, but all right. No testimonies. Okay, here we go. Then Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, excuse me, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him today, because he was showing Jesus what his heart was. He was wide open to the Lord. Today salvation has come to this house. Because also, he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. Right? And so that's our calling. Now, I just give you the fill-in. I got another story. Everything about him, Zacchaeus, changed. Now, this is interesting here. I was meditating on this verse. He slowed down his material life. Jesus said what? Hurry up! Get down here. He slowed down his material life because he was always after money by speeding up his spiritual life. Think about that. So he had a new desire for truth. My dad worked, his mission field was Alcoholics Anonymous. Why is that, Pastor Dave? Because he was an alcoholic. Now, God delivered him. I never remember him taking a drink in all the years of my life, from a little kid till the time he passed on. But he told my mother, he said, I look at this as my harvest field. And so he would go and bring people into our house, and we would have prayer meetings on Friday night for people that had drinking problems. And he would always go to the meetings. And because he had a problem at one time, God delivered him. But anyway, he loved these people. And there was one guy, he said, you got to meet this guy. He said, his name is Charlie Betts. He's with the Lord now. How many of you remember the old cartoon Dick Tracy? Remember that? Okay, remember his nose? He had a broken nose. That's what this guy was. He was a tough guy. Say, how tough was he? He fought all the way through the Pacific as a Marine. He would land on the beaches and take the beaches with the guys, you know. And he made it through. He wasn't even wounded. But when he got out, he began serious drinking because of what he had seen in the war. And he was just a broken man. He was married, and he had children, but none of them were churchgoers. And so my dad began to witness to him and talk to him about Jesus and brought him to the house. And he said, Charlie, and he called me in. He said, Dave, you got to come in here. And I think I was home for a break from school or something. And he said, Charlie's got a problem with his leg. He's got a real leg issue. He's got a lot of pain. He's never been able to get rid of it. And we're going to believe, I've been telling him, that God heals today. And he said, so would you pray for him? So I'll help you. Would you pray for him? I said, sure. So Charlie, let me give you a few scriptures that Jesus is still healing today. So he just grabbed truth, you know. And I said, is it okay if I put my hand? I can put my hand lightly on your leg. He said, sure. So I did. And he goes, I don't feel any pain anymore. It's gone. So he's walking up and down. He said, praise God. I don't have any more pain. He was healed. You know what happened to that man? He got so committed to the Lord that he opened a mercy house called, I think it was called, I think I wrote this down. I want to make sure. It's just a simple name. Hope House. That's what he called, Hope House. And here's this burly Marine guy, you know. Sit down, I got to talk to you about the word. You know. But, so how many know people are out there, and when they sense that you have mercy toward them, they will hear the truth that you are bringing them. Mercy and truth have what? Kissed. They're hanging out together. They're bunk mates. Okay. Number three, River of Life Church has a special anointing for showing mercy. Look over at your neighbor and say, you're a mercy shower. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 8. He who exhorts in exhortation, speaking about ministry gifts here. He who exhorts in exhortation, just do it. He who gives, give liberally, with liberality. He who leads with diligence. And he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So when you go out, are you going to pray for somebody? Have some joy. Lean over and tell your neighbor, you got to have joy if you're going to minister to people. Right? Guy with a real long face, you wouldn't want prayer for me, would you? No, I sure wouldn't, you know. Here's a handkerchief, by the way. So, anyway, God wants us to be joyful, cheerful, and there was a season. How many know God uses us in seasons? There was a season when Sundays I would go, we did treasure hunting. Where's Kimberly? You remember that? You remember that, guys? Treasure hunting. And I used to love to go to Walmart. Why? Well, the Lord will lead me there, but, well, I don't know. It was just the fact that when I would wait on God, he'd speak to me, you're going to Walmart again. This time, though, I had no direction. You say, yeah, what do you do when you don't get any real direction? Well, just go where you think you should go. So I went over to Walmart, and I said, I'm not picking anything up here, Lord. So I'm just going to walk around like the quarterback calls an audible. He didn't have a specific, the play that he had decided to activate in football, he's got going with it. He's just going to do something else. He's going to call an audible at the line of scrimmage, new play. I said, I'm just going to walk around the store and see what I'm picking up. And so every time I would walk around the store, I kept bumping into this one lady. She was a well-dressed lady. She had a buggy. And I kept running into this lady to the point where she said, we got to stop meeting like this. And I said, okay, stop with your buggy here a minute. I said, let me tell you why I'm here. I said, I don't own stock in Walmart or anything like that, but God sent me here for you. And I told her the story. And she started to cry. She said, I believe that. She said, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. She said, I flew in from another town. I have a meeting tomorrow, a very important business meeting. I'm really uptight about it. And yes, I want prayer for that. Would you pray with me? I went, sure, sure. So I said, give me your hand. Let's pray. Spoke the word over her. And I'm not so the whole store could hear me, but I mean, I just spoke the word, right? And she said, thank you so much. I turn to walk away, and I hear this voice behind me saying, sir, sir. I turn around. It was a young lady who worked at the store. And she said, I heard you praying. I have a need. A twofer. We got a twofer sale here today. And so I said, okay, what is your need? And she said, my mother's really sick, and I believe God can heal her. I said, good. Then God send me here for you as well. Yes. Give me your hand. So we spoke the word, boom, you know. So, see, just all you have to do is be willing. Tell your neighbor, all you need to do is be willing. Listen, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. Number four, we are all called to be missionaries of Christ's love. If there's one thing this church is loaded with, I believe it's the love of God. You really have it. I'm serious. You have the love of God. You have the mercy of God. Why do you say that? Because so many people who have come here said, we really felt the love of Jesus, you know. And lean over and tell your neighbor, say, thank you for loving folks. Of course, as a believer, I mean, that's what we're supposed to do, right? So we are called to be missionaries of Christ's love. Look, and this takes practice to pronounce this guy's name. Onesiphorus. I hope I got it. But he was an elder. You can't say it quickly three times on a match. You just can't do it. But it says, look at this fellow. He was an elder from Ephesus. He became a great friend to Paul. Let's look at 2 Timothy. These are great words from Paul. 2 Timothy 1:16 through 18. The Lord grant mercy, Paul's saying, to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me, and he was not ashamed of my chain. That's a big deal. How many know I want to stop there just a minute. How many know there are a lot of people that come into this place and they have a real chain? You say, what are you talking about? You fill in the blank. You know? I mean, people come from all different backgrounds. They have all different needs. And a lot of hang-ups, right? And they don't, maybe they're totally unchurched. So we can't be ashamed of people's chains. And the beautiful thing is, you're not. One of the great ministries we have here at River of Life is on Tuesdays, is healing rooms. We do it from roughly 10:30, 11 o'clock till about 3. We have teaching for about an hour, 45 minutes from 2 to 3. But there are a lot of people who have been healed here. A few weeks ago, when we were greeting people, this lady grabbed me. She said, I want you to meet my husband. She said, I came here initially to healing rooms, and I was healed. The second time I came, I was healed. And I wanted him to experience this. And I said, well, praise God. That's awesome. So you weren't ashamed of what? Her chain. Because we all have them one way or other, or have had them, right? And so But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. How many know that you may help? It is the Lord that really finds people. Can you say amen? But how many know he uses you? He uses you. So he puts you at the what? Right place at the right time with the right words to break down the walls. And the people say, wow, he was not ashamed to talk about my chain. Right? He zealously sought me out. He found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. So how many know the Lord is keeping track of you in a good way? You have treasure laid up in heaven. Wow. Praise God. Okay. So are we ashamed of the chains of people that we bring to church, or do we see it as an opportunity to minister life? By the way, Onesiphorus' name, this is cool. This is a fill-in, means showing prophet. Isn't that cool? Showing prophet. He sure has spiritually, hadn't he? One of my good friends, when I was a young guy, was a fellow named Bill Taff. I love Bill Taff. My dad, you say, how did you know him? How'd you meet him? My father reached out to his father. Here again, my dad, the evangelist, reached out to his father, who was an alcoholic. You know, got him going back to church, got him coming to the meetings. And he told me one day, he said, hey, we're going to go to a Dodger game today. Not L.A. Dodgers, this is Brooklyn Dodgers. This is really dating me, okay? What year was it, Pastor Dave? None of your business. Yeah. I will tell you, Jackie Robinson, Pee Wee Reese, and Duke Snyder were playing for the Dodgers in those years. So anyway, but we became good friends. And this guy, he collected baseball cards. He had so many baseball cards. I'm not going to go into that, but he sold half his set and bought a brand new car with it. You know, so but he was a good friend. And when I got saved, when I gave my heart to the Lord, I started witnessing to him. And the time came when I was able to lead him to Christ. Bill Taff became a senior editor of Sports Illustrated. Wow. And he was able to touch a lot of people. He told me one time, he said, Dave, man, he said, I think I'm gonna go to seminary and go into full time ministry. I said, no, you don't want to do that. You do not want to do that. I said, your harvest field, Bubba, is right there. Exactly. Thus saith the Lord. And Dave, no, your harvest field is right there. You stay there. I said, are you touching some people there? He said, yeah, I am. You stay there. That's why God put you there. You go to seminary like I did, they'll mess you up. I was filled with the Holy Ghost, so it didn't mess me up. I'd try to mess them up. All right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a whole other story. But, and so he became a famous writer. He wrote books. He sent me this one book, Zondervan or one of those. He wrote about Jack Dempsey, A Pure Blue Flame. I went, whoa, fantastic book. And he touched a lot of people's lives. He was on Monday Night Football. They brought him on one time. God's reminding me of some of these things. He passed away fairly early, about 15 years ago. We were the same age. But he touched a lot of people by staying where he was. That was his harvest field. So we need, when we reach out in love, we are being very profitable in the kingdom of God in Christ Jesus. He continually went out of his way. This is Onesiphorus. He continually went out of his way to find Paul. Really, it is God who must find us, but the Holy Spirit will use whosoever will. And then number five, we need the spirit of Onesiphorus in these days, who will go after potential Pauls. We will not let their chain stop us from sharing Christ's love. We are all called to travel the friendship road in order to release people through the love of Christ. One last example. We had a guy at our church in New Orleans, and he was asking the Lord to show him what kind of ministry he could have. He told me, he said, I'm not called to prophesy or be a teacher or anything. He said, but I said, well, where is your heart? What is your heart telling you? He said, well, I have a real love for people, especially disenfranchised type of people, people who nobody else wanted to talk to. Well, this guy began to get a burden for a group of people, and I've been to this place, and Ina has too, in the city of New Orleans. What? It was a lousy name. Home for the Incurables. That was the name of it. Home for the Incurables. Bring them to church, baby. Come on. We're going to turn that around. This guy went, he bought a school bus. He took all the seats out of the school bus. Why did he do that? Got a ramp so that these people, that he could push their wheelchairs up and pack the bus out every Sunday morning, brought them to church. There's a minute. You remember. You sure remember. You know, and the guy, he had a ministry of mercy. And because he had a ministry of mercy, mercy and what? Truth have kissed each other. They were open to truth because he showed mercy. Praise God. If you don't remember anything else, remember that. Let's stand. Praise God. Boy, I feel God's presence here. I'd like our older team to come if you have any need at all. Any need. We ran a little late today, but it's okay. I didn't want to stop worshiping. I don't know about you. I didn't want to stop worshiping. We just have to go with the Holy Spirit.